rounding off a teaching we started 6 weeks ago. Hallelujah. And it's titled The Parable of the Sower.
Today is the 7th week. Hallelujah.
So we started it 7 weeks ago, not 6 weeks ago. Hallelujah. 7 weeks ago. The Parable of the Sower. Matthew 28, 4 verses 18.
Now, as we go ahead, how many of us have been following this teaching?
Matthew 28.
How many of us have been following this teaching on the parable of the sower? Not those who are like empty and empty. How many of you have been around for this teaching since week one? You can say, I was around from the beginning. See? You are like, here we come, one win. Hallelujah. And it's not good for your spiritual growth. Hallelujah. If you are inconsistent in this, it's not good for your spiritual growth. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Learn to be around for meetings. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Okay, Mark 28 quickly. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority,
your body, your body.
Having your body.
It's not saying, man.
All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.
He said, go therefore and make disciples of every nation. He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the age.
So, we've always discussed this, and I want to say it again. When he says, go make disciples,
never lose sight of that word, never. When he says, go make disciples, it means go raise scholars, right? Go raise apprentices. That's the word apprentice.
In Christianity, I still share this yesterday, everyone is made a student. See, when you are a church and you are segregating based on gender, in fact, a church that segregates gender, on based on gender, we are youths, we are men's fellowship, women's fellowship. What again? What do you have again? Which I see why you want. I'm used to some of that. Which I see why you want. Okay, Christian Youth Organization. Okay, CYO. In church. And then these are the kids.
No.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, I said something that I said it's in the local church that God has achieved equality in the world. It's a local church. So when you are in a church where there is segregation based on, let's say, gender, let's say color. Okay, this part of the world, they're all black.
Hallelujah.
So if they're segregating, maybe you're not separating charcoal from pots. Hallelujah. We can do that, you know. Hallelujah. But this part of the world. But, you know, some people are racial. What? Racial discrimination in the church. Oh, rich men association in church. I don't know about those who have cars and those who drive bicycles. And those who use legacy events, Association of Santos Global International.
You see, Christ goes before a form.
Hallelujah. When they were doing Santos and eating Andy's money, some people were eating OBO. People were using new laptops. You see them come to church, they were carrying shoulders. And God said, I'm going to cut your shoulders.
Hallelujah.
You trust in man and not in God. Hallelujah. So they now had an association at the back. They will come and find their way into an office in the church. Hallelujah. I need not do anything for them. Hallelujah. So when we had office inside the church, they had a table and a chair. Unknowingly, it became a permanent city. Hallelujah. Well, God has achieved equality in the church.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I have said something. I think for the next 2 years,
in all messages, people will be asking, when people fall, they say, what is Samson's prayer? You don't have to go and explain to them. They run away with pastor's money. So he reminds them for the rest of their life. Okay, for 2 years. I said for 2 years. So the second year, I will now give them pardon. I fear me. Amen.
So God achieves equality in the church.
Amen. So everyone is made a disciple. Everyone is a disciple.
We saw that who was a disciple of Jesus? We had Peter, right? We had Peter.
We had
Peter was a fisherman, right?
We had John. I want to bring up those two.
Peter was a bit on the, shall I call it, matured status. Do you understand? John was on the side of a teenager, but they meet with Jesus himself. We had Joseph of Arimathea. He was a rich man.
A rich man. He was a disciple. Rich man. You know, when Jesus died, they seized his body. Hope you know that. His body was seized. But who? A rich man came, knock connection door, and they released the body. Hallelujah. Glory to God, so that they can bury it. So he was buried. He had a rich disciple. He is called a disciple. He was not called a rich emoji. He was called a rich disciple. Hallelujah. Was a disciple.
So, in discipleship or in the local church, there is no segregation. A church that observes segregation is a church that is not living up to, that is not living fully in what God has achieved in the local church. Hallelujah. Not living fully in it. How? Come by another segregation. No, it's not. Glory to God. And we saw how discipleship is carried out, right? We saw how discipleship is carried out through teaching. And in teaching, you must observe the fact that what is taught in teaching is how scriptures are explained. Was that what we said? There's a way scriptures should be taught. See, let me say it again. You don't rush to explain scriptures anyhow. There's a way scripture taught us to teach scripture. Are you hearing me? There's a way scripture, Bible taught us to read Bible, to teach Bible. You don't teach Bible anyhow, and you have to be taught. And that is what is done in discipleship. Hallelujah. Are you following me? You know, I said this thing in the course of the teaching. I said, some of you will have discovered that there were some attitude things you began to grow in the world. There were some attitude you stopped. Attitude like, that funny attitude where you just carry your Bible and say, what am I going to read today? That I'm not seen as a herbalist. Now open your Bible, close your Bible now, and many more. Father, you want to read Bible? I didn't mean many more. Oh Lord, show me. Now open. You don't read it. You now put it on your chest. Say every enemy, let them die, fall down and die. You know you stop that attitude. Hallelujah. Why? Because you have taught the word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The power of God is not in paper. In Nollywood, you find it inside paper. But this is reality. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
The power of God is not in paper. The power of God is in the deliver. Hallelujah. Say to that. It's in the believer. Glory to God. In Acts of Apostles, in Ephesians 3, he said the power that is at work in us. Do you understand? Where is the power of God? In us.
The power of God is in me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
But when you want too much knowledge, don't allow people that are not even born again are telling you how Christianity is. Are you following them? But you know you can't do that now. Hallelujah. God, you've been taught the word and you have been taught the word. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
In a few days' time, it's our CRC. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Now we are getting prepared. the believer's authority. Hallelujah. We are taught again what the believer's authority is.
Hallelujah.
So get prepared.
Hallelujah.
There are some practical things we're going to do. You're going to see, I'll see. Very practical. Hallelujah. Let me put it like, there will be a raw demonstration of the power of God in CLC. Not from pastor, but from everybody. Hallelujah. Your power gift and revelation gift will be so much. So much. So much. In this year CLC. So we're getting prepared. Getting scared of. Gazing into the meeting. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So, how are scriptures explained? Scripture will say the arrival point is what? In the person of Christ. So scriptures are explained in the person of Christ. John 5:39. Search the scripture. You search the scripture, then you think you have eternal life. These are they that testify of me. So scriptures are explained in Christ. To conclude me in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Always have that. The study or explanation of scripture will begin from Moses. You must study from Moses. Are you following me? Study from Moses. So that is it's called the systematic study of the Bible. Systematic study of scripture is the beginning from Moses. And then you have to pay attention when you read. Read in details. Understand context. Understand what? Context.
Don't just read anyhow. Don't just say, my God shall supply all my need. My Lord shall supply all my needs according to riches in glory and waiting for miracle money outside your door.
No. Hallelujah. Don't just say, I can do all things through Christ that sent me and you want to go and rob. No. Hallelujah. You must study in context. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So you must read in context. You must pay attention towards background of study. You must pay attention to figure of speech. You know, it will be an error to use a figure of speech literal. Error to use figure of speech literal. Glory to God. It will be an error. Glory to God. Amen. And it's an error too to use what is literal in scriptures as figure of speech. So you must use words the way they are used in scripture. Words used in scriptures are the real meaning of words. Are you following me? Are the real meaning of words. Amen. In Matthew 13, that's what we began to look at. Matthew 13. And we saw parables, right? The parable of Jesus, right? Matthew 13, verses 11. And he answered and said to them, now, verse 10. And they asked him, why do you speak to them in parables? 11. And he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know. I'll be very fast. It is given for you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For, do you see? He said, for whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, 13, because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. That is unbelief. So Jesus says the reason for parables, listen, the reason for parables is because of unbelief. Do you get me? The reason for parables is because of unbelief. That is the major reason for parables. And parables are added so that they can understand. Parable is not to suffer them, it's so that they can understand. Hallelujah. So parables is because of what? Unbelief towards the gospel, right? And it is added so that they can understand. He was using the culture of their day, the literature of their day, to write to them so that they will understand. So parable is like dropping to their level. Do you understand? You are dropping to their level so that they will understand. That's the reason for parables. Unbelief. Hallelujah. When I make you use illustration. Remember I told us something. That if you use, like you're using, trying to use figure of speech literal. You know, Moses built for them a what? Moses built for them a tabernacle, right? He built for them a tabernacle. And he showed them, see, and the tabernacle, you know, the tabernacle is to
If you look at Genesis 1:1, heaven and earth, right? Right? Heaven and earth. Now, what does heaven and earth mean? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, that is God and man, right? Now, that was Moses teaching them. But they couldn't even grasp it. Are you following me? When Moses put heaven and earth was to also make them know that God will live in man. Moses has told them God will live in man. If you read Exodus chapter 3, he said, I will take you for a people. Did you get that? Eh? He said, I will redeem you with an outstretched hand. That is the word God. Redeem. Meaning I will be a kinsman redeemer. Are you following me? A kinsman. One who stands in your stead. One who is as you. One who comes to defend you. Comes to rescue you. A kinsman redeemer. I will be a kinsman redeemer to you. But the Bible says they didn't believe him. This was Moses in Egypt. They didn't believe him. So what did he now do? He will now tell them, see, let me explain to you what I am talking about. Eh? He says, heaven and earth. Did you see that? He's trying to explain to them that they will see that, see, God is your kinsman. Are you following me? So that's what he's doing. He said to them, God is your kinsman. So he said, God created the heavens and the earth. So he now brings in heaven and earth. Now, why will he bring in heaven and earth? Because heaven, their mind goes to the skies. Listen, not another planet, the skies. He now shows them heaven and earth. Now, why is he showing them heaven and earth? He's showing them heaven and earth because they know that the heavens, the sky is within the earth. So he's showing them heaven and earth for you to see that the heaven and earth is in the same place. Did you get? So this is what God will do. Heaven and earth in the same place. Heaven is not another planet. You know, I've told you, I've told us. You know, some people have that mindset. When we all get to heaven. Pray for it. But give them scripture, explain. Show them from scripture, they can't show it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. He said, one day we will meet Jesus, we will just disappear from the earth. They call it rapture. Disappear from the earth. Boom! And you're not found. And you will now find yourself in heaven. Tales by moonlight. Hallelujah. So don't you believe in rapture? I believe in rapture, but not that kind of rapture. Hallelujah. You just disappear. Give them scripture, let them show you. Better they will go to his Matthew 24. Say two will be walking, one will be taken, another will be left. But then they do context. Do context. You know, you just jump there. Do context. When you now do context, not always context, you are reading everything from the beginning. Let's go out that the one that is taken away, Jesus was actually speaking about a destruction that will happen in Israel, which happened. Did you get that? Two people will be walking. Two people will be walking. One will be captured. The one that was taken away was captured to be killed. But they didn't read well. They just saw two will be walking, one will be taken away. So what comes there is, pew! You know, so watch cartoon. Pew! Where is he? Ah! Where is he? The one that will read well. The one that will be taken, the one that was captured. Then you're not getting, as they see with Jesus Christ prophesy, that there will be flight. That your flight. That's God's own plan. Pray that your flight is not in. You know, ignorance and not reading in context will put people in trouble. So somebody now said, imagine there was flight. Well, that's the reason why I don't take flight. I don't know. That imagine that you are flying in the sky, not as a witch, but inside a plane. Hallelujah. And the pilot was not raptured. Pew! What will happen to the plane? What will happen, please? What will happen to all of you? Where will we now meet? Where the pilot is going? Hallelujah. Did you see that? That doctrine has killed glory to God. Anyway. No. Don't read the Bible anyhow. They come, read well. Hallelujah. So when you now read there, you discover that you were talking about a destruction that will happen to Israel. And when that destruction happens, there will be captures. Some people will be captured to kill. To kill where they are. So don't make that mistake. Hallelujah. So Moses will now write to them heaven and earth. Now that heaven and earth is also a parable. Did you see? Because they have disbelieved. They did not believe in the fact that God is their kinsman redeemer. God will be in them. Did you get? So he now writes and tells them, see, there will be heaven and earth. Do you understand? So when he shows, when he says heaven and earth, they understood. Their mind did not go to another planet. Because if you read all through scripture, they never used heaven for any place. They use heaven for what is within the earth. They call sky heaven. Did you get it? So, you now imagine. He now tells heaven and earth. And their mind was just like heaven and earth. Did you get it? They couldn't even comprehend. So what is that? Okay. No problem. So bad news. He now made a tabernacle for them. Did you get it? So into that tabernacle, he now places, he now shows them there is what is called the holies. Did you get? Holies, which is the holiest of all. He now tells them this is where God stays. The outer part, this is where you will stay. Now that tabernacle is to show them heaven on earth. This is heaven and earth together. So that heaven and earth, that holiest of all is to represent heaven. Where they will gather is earth. Did you get it? So that tabernacle will now show them, see, God and man will be housed in the same place. Did you get it? You know what they now did? And they now started to say, okay, well, I want to go and see God. So they are going into that place. Unbelief. Did you get it? But the reason for the tabernacle is to explain kings, man, redeemer, God and man in the same place. Did you get it? But what did they do? What did unbelief do? Unbelief now makes them see parables, read figures of speech as literal. We are not supposed to read it literal. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Then in Isaiah, he now said, the God does not dwell in temples made with hands. You need to see that God does not dwell in temples made with hands. So that means, listen, if you don't know where the temple made with hands, and Paul now writes, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. I want you to see. So where does God dwell? What has only been writing to them? That temple, that tabernacle is God in man. Did you see that? So you don't read parables literal. Parables are teachings. Hallelujah. Okay, no. I take back that. Parables point to teachings. Are you hearing me? Parables, we say parables, the word parable is the word parabole, right? It means to cross to the other side. Was that what I taught you? Okay, that's not what I have. I don't think I've said that this year. Parables mean to cross to the other side, meaning to leave what you're talking about, to now cross over to use illustration to explain what you're talking about. It's parabole, to cast alongside. What is cast alongside? Do you understand? Eh? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hebrew man will say, small, that they used to lick soup that is hot. That's a parable. What is the man trying to say? What are they trying to say? Imagine they just, I don't want to say it in English, so that's what we love. So they say, it's small, that they used to lick soup that has. That is hot. Small. Is a parable. Now imagine not taking it. You know you can fault that. That's only that you, their mouth is like cooler. I've seen people like that. Their mouth is like cooler. I suffered in school. That is why you don't go to boarding school. You get to university, you'll do it. Hallelujah. Imagine I'm done cooking food. The food is still hot. They bring it up, bring it up. And as I don't cross it, I'm not sad for everybody. I didn't get up to two schools for free. People just say, ah! I'm thinking, barack boy. No, yeah, because you don't cross that. You eat small, you just like this. Oh, well, people just pack your food. They're swallowing it. At the point, I did it the first time, the second time. I saw that it was a scheme. I have to learn it too. If you see me eating, I don't eat gentle. I'm not like Pastor Wilson. I eat more. That matter. Sometimes I don't even know. I've gone out before recently. I, when I'm going to say,
This was just on fear.
Come on.
No, this is the kind of square. I
don't know. I just embarrassed my because they have to make me. And the second time when they came,
I just collected their stone.
You know, because I will first of all make my food get cold. So you open it, you know, you open it.
You know now you are born of this, you pull it, let me present that.
And I'm taking it from the side. And somebody is already finishing it. Give me your spoon in.
Your picture and lens. I won't tell you what I did. There are some people that, when they are cooking, will come and stand.
From the pot! On the fire, we are eating.
I have to learn it.
Somebody told me that once you put it in your mouth, don't you stay on your tongue. See, at the end, you might not feel full, but once you drink water, you are full.
Ah!
That killed your walking.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
So you can fault that, right? But I can be talking to you and then, and I'm talking to you about patience. In terms of, maybe I'm discussing with you and I'm talking to you about patience because something has not paid you. You know, I don't want to talk about patience. And I said, see, I almost said it to you, but I said, it is so small. I used to eat ox. How can I call it a bad? Shh, don't call it him.
How are you calling him? He's not picking the call. He has blocked my number. Calm down.
See, calm down. You know how the pastor says, calm down. You see, you know ox. You eat it so small.
So imagine you now take it literal. You now be you are mad.
Let me tell you that you used to eat salt so small, small. No, no.
Are you following me? It was cast alongside to explain patience. Just you can. You follow it small, small. Don't get angry. Did you get? So that's parable. So I have to condescend to. I'm pointing somebody his level. Hallelujah, that you see it. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So, I showed us that parables and proverbs are the same thing. I'm trying to be fast because of where I'm going to. I have a lot to look at. I want to quickly get over this. So, parables and proverbs are the same thing. So, Solomon will now tell us what a proverb is. Proverb is what? All things being equal. Right?
Meaning, it must not always be correct. Like I just used, hot soup now.
Anyway, just the way I'm looking at your face, saying just say it in you.
No, calm down. Hallelujah.
Those days are not yet upon us.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Okay, Proverbs chapter 1. So, you know, we say they might not always be correct, especially if you look at it from 100% correct, but that is why you don't dwell on Proverbs. You actually look at what it's pointing to. Right? Proverbs chapter 1, look at verses 3. Verse 3. It says, to receive instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. Equity is the word Mishar. It means what? All things being equal. It might not always be true. Hallelujah. Or, might not always be, if you look great on the present circumstance, it might not always work out that way. But you must look at what is pointing to. So the book of Proverbs is actually cast alongside a teaching. Did you get? It's not a teaching on its... Let me not look for trouble now. Okay. It's actually cast alongside a major teaching. It's not actually a teaching on its own. It actually points into a teaching. Are you following me? And I told you that in Deuteronomy chapter 17, if you look at verses 14 into 16, a king is actually a teacher of the Torah. A king will teach from Genesis to Deuteronomy. Do you understand? So, what for you to be a king, you will always read out Genesis to Deuteronomy. That is the condition as a king. We must always read out. So, when Solomon sits down
in his chambers to read out Genesis, and people will come to here because you have to teach them Genesis to Deuteronomy. Now, when someone sits to read and is reading the Torah, Torah is Genesis to Deuteronomy, and is reading out Genesis to Deuteronomy, the book of Proverbs are the proverbs that he said when he read them out to explain. So they are illustrations. Are you following me? So when he now looks and says, train up, I don't know why I'm always coming here, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. He's actually teaching Genesis to Deuteronomy. Are you following me? That is a parable for Genesis to Deuteronomy. When we look at the book of Proverbs, we get to dwell on all those things. Hallelujah. When I say, my son, attend to my words, and kind of hear that it is a parable of a Jonathan. So he's pointing to the scriptures. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you following me? Point to the scriptures. So he says it is equity. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. So his equity means all things being equal. It might happen, it might not happen. Hallelujah. And I gave us an example last week. Right? Right? Is there every children that is trained in the way they should go that did not depart? If you say they all did not depart, I'll show you children that they trained in the way they should go. When they grow up, they did not just depart, they lost. They got missing from it. Hallelujah. From children, when they were growing up, they were teaching them, earning the money you pray, money devotion. They taught them more money devotion, night devotion, money devotion. They grew up, got to university, and they forgot devotion. In fact, they forgot that there's a way. Hallelujah. I know people like that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it might not always be that way. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Amen.
I've not seen children that, and I gave us an example of one of my roommates, right? In school. Who never attended, I've never seen him read his Bible. Read. 1 year we were together, he never opened that Bible. Father is a pastor. He never went to church. He never went to church. He never went to church. Father is a pastor. And when he tells you of the things he does, whenever he comes back, goes back home, or before he goes to school, in the church, you'll be surprised. Hallelujah. Was he not training the way he should go? He was. Hallelujah. He has departed. So it must not. It doesn't always happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we began looking at the parable of Jesus. So I said that to say this. As the people who are out saying they can fault the parables of Jesus. See, you can fault it well. No, sir. You can fault the parables well, but you are not wise because parables are not teachings. Look at what is it pointing to. Can you fault what it was pointing to? No. Are you following? But when it comes to the parable, you can fault it because the parables of Jesus were actually the signs of their day. He was just employing, it was the language of their day. And language evolves. I believe things evolve. Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
I said if it were to be today, Jesus would not have used seed. Might not have used seed. He might have even used data. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Might even have used data. Glory to God. Things evolve. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. So, things evolve. So since things evolve, you are not how to fault it. You are not well. Something is wrong with your head. Glory to God, but you will fault it well. Amen. But what was it pointing to? So since parables point to teachings, points to doctrine, that means Jesus' parables point to the Old Testament book, to his teachings from the Old Testament books. Luke 24:44. These are the words which I spoke to you while I was with you. A lot of things was the fulfillment of everything in the law of Moses, in the book, Benjamin the Psalms, concerning me. So meaning Jesus is teaching you somewhere, Moses, the prophet, and the Psalms, that is Genesis to Malachi. So that means, listen, say while I was yet with you, that means even his parables pointed to what those teachers, right? So that means the parables of Jesus, I can teach them through scriptures. I can find it all through scriptures first. Are you following me? I can teach them all through scriptures. And we began looking at the word seed quickly. I need to jump fast now. But we began looking at the word seed, right?
Yes,
seed. Genesis 1:11. You know, Let me just give us a background. Genesis 1:11 will be how Genesis 1:1-2. Genesis 1:1 is what? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? God and man united, right? Then in verses 2, what I'm saying is should be there, so you will see when I'm reading right here, reading from Quran. Yeah, you have to open your Bible to check. Hallelujah. You have to be looking at it. Like, man of God, you are reading Quran. So, you're looking at the Bible. So, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right?
Yes.
Heavens and earth to be there. I've just explained that to us now. Right? He said the earth was without form and void. Remember, we say heavens will be what? The sky. I mean, we represent the sky. The earth for God's place in the earth. Right?
Yes.
Will be for God's place in the earth. God dwelling place in the earth. The earth will be where? Man. Man and the activities of man. Get CRC message for last year. I have to get. So, now in verse 2, it now says the earth was without form and void. Remember, we said he now showed you the earth, which is man without the heavens, right? So the earth without heaven, which is man without God, is empty and void, and darkness also for the face of the deep. But what is the Spirit of God doing? So the Spirit of God hovers over the surface of the waters. Waters is used for nations. Look at verses 10. He spoke about the rivers, or the rivers that flowed into the garden, in and out of the garden. Hallelujah. So flow into the garden to show you that the garden is actually a symbol also. Let me give us next year. We'll treat Genesis. We'll just look at not Genesis. Look at introduction to the book of Genesis. Just intro. Intro. Don't come and ask this. Intro. I'm telling you. Like intro, so that you understand Genesis, you need to understand so that why am I giving us intro so that you will be able to read it on your own. Do you know that? So that you'll be able to read it well. Hallelujah. I don't have issues reading it. Hallelujah. So if you look at that in verse 11, the garden of Eden is actually a place you can point to in the earth. But now Moses now writes that, listen, Moses now writes that as a figure for what? God's presence. Did you see that? As a figure to show God's presence, to show also God's activity in the earth. Now, that's the nations or waters flowed into the garden to make you know that those waters is used for nations, different nations of the earth. Are you following me? So waters is used figuratively. Garden of Eden is used figuratively. Are you following me? For nations that will flow into the garden. Now, you need to see this quickly. When that gets to verse 11, now say this thing will be done via the seed, that the seed will produce its kind. This is that. How will it happen? The seed will produce its kind. I need to follow this. What is he saying? How will the nation? God's plan is for the nations, right? God's plan is for, he said, the Spirit of the Lord hovers over the surface of the deep, the nations. So God's plan is to what? Fill the nations, that the nations will become his heaven and earth, right? The nations will be his heaven in the earth, right? Right? All the nations of the world will be his heaven in the earth, his activities amongst men. Hallelujah. That's God's plan. Get that message. Okay, we'll be looking after Carrie's camp. We'll be looking at some of these things. Pneumaticals, God's plan, because those messages got missing. So we'll look at them again. I have to re-explain these things again. Again. So make sure if you missed it before, make sure you are around to listen to it again. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell us one or two things about it today. So now, God's plan is for the nations of the earth. All the earth. All the earth, and how will it happen? To happen via the seed. So God says, "This my plan is for the nations of the earth, but it will happen via the seed. That the seed will produce its kind." Are you following me? So Jesus' parable was concerning the parable of the sower. So Jesus, God says, it will happen through a seed. Hallelujah. So now that seed, listen, how will it happen via the seed? In verse 26, he now says, "Let us make man in our image." Now listen, let us make man in our image. Is it the same thing with Genesis 1:1? Yes. Is it not better than heavens and the earth? Let's make man. So how will this happen? Via the seed, right? Now he now called the seed his image. Did you see that? The seed is the image. Now who is the image of God? The image of God, which is what? The icon, right? In the Greek, icon. The image of God is actually Christ. It's Christ. You have to rush down to Hebrews. Colossians. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. Colossians chapter 1 verse 15. No, 14. Okay. Colossians 1, just read 13 to 16. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4, from verses 2 down to 6. You see that the image of God is Christ. Did you see that? So that is, what is God's plan? The seed, and the seed will be that image. And that image is Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He gets again to chapter 2. He says, it's not good for man to be lonely. It's not chapter 2, Genesis 2. It's not good for man to be alone. Man to be alone is not man without a wife. No. Just like the song we sang, my family, my children. And you're thinking your children, when I born. That means you guys where your mind went to first. I wonder what you are hearing though. It will also include your physical children, but come on, look at it. Who are your real children? Spiritual. Hallelujah. The spiritual children. Whom your physical children should be part of your spiritual children. Hallelujah. So don't wish things. How can I be singing that song? Now wait, let me get married and give you the children. Then I'll sing my family, my children, and your children. And your word man. Sure. Hallelujah. Let's continue, John. So, where were we? It's not good for a man to be alone. Is that Genesis 1:2? Genesis 1:2, right? Earth without the heavens. Hallelujah. Say, I will make him and help me. Help me is not a woman, it's not a girl. That finished for Junior Abuja or any other place. No. Help me is actually the Lord himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Help me is actually the Lord himself. So God says, so what is God restates in Genesis 1:1? Heaven and earth. Can you follow me? So whenever in chapter 1 he says it, chapter 1, he says it in chapter 2, he gets to chapter 3, man sinned. What was man's sin? Unbelief. Unbelief is man's sin. Man ate of the fruit of the garden, which is unbelief. Now, listen, yes, unbelief, he didn't think about it more, yes. That is, he did not believe. So, now, the fruit of the garden that he's not supposed to eat, let me ask that. So, what did God do immediately? God came. Chapter 3 verse 15, he says, I'll put enmity between you and the seed, and between thy seed and her seed. He said, he shall bruise thy head. You should not read your Bible, so you know when I begin to read another book. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Look at that, he said, he shall bruise thy head. That's God's word, the seed of the woman. So, he comes again. He is man's lapses again. Unbelief. Man without God. Earth without the heaven. He says, my seed. I mean, the seed of the woman. Seed again. How will it happen in chapter 1 verse 11? Seed, which is the image, which is the heaven. Now, he calls seed again. Are you following me? So, he thought the seed is actually Cain. Oh, Cain was wayward. Abel. Abel was killed by Cain. She turned immediately and thought it was sex. But all of a sudden, it now dawned on her that Seth gave birth to his child called Enos. And he said, death reigns. So she just relaxed. See, it can be by experience. Hallelujah. It can be by experience. Moses writes that beautifully for you to see that the seed of God, that the seed will not be known by human experience. No, it cannot be revealed by human experience. Which when you read Matthew 16 verses 14, Jesus will say to Peter, when Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, he said, this was revealed to you not by flesh and blood. That is, human experience cannot reveal it to you. So that is what you have in the foreground when reading Genesis chapter. When reading that account of Eve. Hallelujah. Because you can't know it via human experience. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So the word seed,
what you will see is from the Hebrew word zera. If you are fast, you will catch me. If you are not fast, you might not be. Now, it's from the Hebrew word zera, which is used for an offspring, used for one son. Hallelujah. Moses uses it like that for offspring. Uses it for a person, a nation. Hallelujah. A person, a nation.
I would say Moses in Genesis was not writing history. So if you are looking at Genesis and you are looking at history, you might be missing it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Rather, what Moses was writing about, Moses is writing theology.
Moses is teaching the person of God in the light of the redemption as a promise.
That's what Moses is doing.
Hallelujah. He's teaching the person of God in the light of the redemption as a promise. So Moses, in Moses' theology, he will write it using known history.
Am I too fast? I can't say I'm too fast. Hallelujah. I'll take it again. In Moses' theology, he will write his theology using known history. Meaning, Abraham's story was known to them. Adam's story was known to them. Enoch's story was known to them. Hallelujah. But he cannot be writing a story that they know again. No, because they had it as oral tradition.
Hallelujah. They knew the stories. But they did not know the theology within the stories.
Hallelujah.
Are you following me? Glory to God.
Hallelujah. So they did not know the theology in the story. So in Moses' theology, he will write it with known history. It's a known history. The Jews have their history. Hallelujah. It's a known history. So within human history, within human history, within human genealogy, the story of God is told. Within human history, within human genealogy, the story of God is told. So when God spoke of the seed in Genesis 3:15, remember, we say Eve will now bring in her own experience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
But her experience failed her.
Glory to God. What was Moses writing? Moses is writing God's story within human history, within human genealogy. You will find God's story told there. Then, as he, you think, oh, that we see. Yes, there is a promise of a seed again made to Abraham. After he has received the promise of a land, he received the promise of a seed.
Hallelujah.
And Moses will write it for you to see that there will be an Ishmael and an Isaac. I said this last week, but there were some things I didn't say and left for today so that you see.
Hallelujah.
So he writes Isaac and Ishmael. Ishmael will be man's effort. Ishmael will come from Hagar.
Hallelujah.
Man's effort. Sarah will tell Abraham, take my place.
Hallelujah. So that you can get this seed.
Man's effort. Hallelujah. But no, it's not man's effort. It will be what I will give.
Hallelujah.
It will be Isaac. Isaac will be God's work. Isaac will be God's work to make you see that the seed will be God's work. Are you following me? The seed will be God's work.
Are you following me? You have to listen to especially the last three tracks. Make sure you dwell on it well.
Hallelujah. Dwell on it well. You see, it will be out this evening by God's grace.
It should be out this week, this evening or tomorrow morning. Listen to it again tomorrow. Let me read the 14th and listen to tomorrow. Just listen to it well again. Listen to it again and again. That listen to it well.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to it and listen to them together. Well, you will see. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, it makes you see that the seed will be God's work. But before God's work, you will have human's effort. You will have human effort. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And before human effort, there was a promise. The promise was made to Abraham. You now saw human effort. You now saw God's work. Are you following me? Glory to God.
That's how Moses puts it for you to see.
Hallelujah. So, you will find, and simply in the study of scripture, you will find what God's promise, you will find the law, and you will find the seed. Hallelujah. The law of sin and death, and then you will find within that there is still the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the law of sin and death will come as a result of rejection, which will be man's effort. Are you following me? That will now give birth to the law of sin and death. Something beautiful that Moses writes for you to see.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, the one that you see that is God's work, but before God's work, you have human effort. He also shows you again. When you think the seed is speaking of is Isaac, you know, when you answer, ah, that's it, Isaac. No. He now tells you, hey, Isaac. In Isaac too, we now had another promise. The same promise, sorry, restated to Isaac. Hallelujah. Of the same seed. Of seed. So the way you know that the promise is not Isaac. Hallelujah. The promised seed is not Isaac. Hallelujah. And for you, before you even relax, you now tell you that Isaac could not give birth to Jacob and Esau. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But before then, before I get to Jacob and Esau, it makes you, the way you write Isaac as a narrative. Hallelujah. You write it now, you see that narrative. Or better put, parable, to teach about the promises. So, Isaac is used as a parable. Hallelujah. You read Hebrews. A lot of Hebrews say Isaac was received back in a figure. That word figure is the word parable. So Isaac was used as a parable to teach about the main promise. So when you are now thinking, it now shows you Jacob and Esau. Esau is called profane. In Hebrews chapter 12 verse 16, Esau is called profane, a profane person. Profane there means he has loose speech. He was loose in his speech. He talks anyhow. Just talks anyhow about spiritual things. Talks anyhow about spiritual people. Talks anyhow. He has people's tongues. Just talk anyhow. Just talk anyhow. Because he has access to social media. He just writes anything. Just write any nonsense. Loose. Not well taught. Loose. Some people are like that. Very loose. You think you can criticize every and anything? No. Hallelujah. You think you can just open your mouth braggadociously and talk nonsense? You are joking. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I love what one wonderful guy said. Idi Amin. If you know him, you know him. If you don't know him, you don't know him. He said something. He said, there is freedom of speech. It's guaranteed. You have freedom of speech, but you don't know what will happen after your speech. So, what you are assured of is freedom of speech, but what you are not assured of is what will happen in the repercussion of your speech. Glory to God. Very, very simple and very profound. Amen. I don't know why you don't like that guy, but I like him for that quote. Glory to God. So keep your mouth in check. Don't you ask, because don't you have freedom of speech? Go and ask those. You know what happened October 20? Ask them. The freedom of speech. Glory to God. But ask them what happened after the freedom of speech. So, day your day. Day your demot. Glory to God. Amen. So Esau was like that guy. He talks anyhow. He has people's tongue. He has anybody's tongue. Hallelujah. When people are speaking in tongues, they are laughing. See that tongue? It's funny. Stupid. Hallelujah. Stupid. Hallelujah. Loose speech. And in Genesis 25, verse 34. Genesis 25, verse 34. I'm very fast. Genesis 25, 34. He said, and Jacob gave Esau bread of stew. And stew, sorry. Hallelujah. Not porridge. Not porridge yam. Not fried yam and pomo. It's actually bread and stew. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Of lentils. And when yet he drank, arose and went his way. Thus Esau despised. I need you to see that he despised his birthright. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, in the build up to what, to verse 34, he shows you that what Esau in verses 30, Jacob asked him in 31, sell me your birthright. And Esau said, what is birthright? That was Esau said, what is birthright? When I'm about to die, come on, take that thing, John. You know, when you look at the word birthright, he despised the birthright. You know, last week I showed you that birthright is actually the right of the firstborn, right? And I explained something to you that that is very important. If you share a man's property, a man has four children. One part of what we call birthright is the fact that a man has four children, he has properties, you share the properties into five. The first son right will be, will have two. So if I share the property, you have four children, share it into five, everybody takes one, the first one takes double. That is the right of the firstborn. Furthermore to see, the firstborn right
also means he will have to stand in the stead of his father. Are you following me? That's the firstborn right. It's called Besorah in Hebrew. The firstborn. He has, that is the right of the firstborn. So he stands in the stead of his father, in the office of his father. He takes the father's place. So he has the right of the who? The firstborn child. Firstborn child. So if the father is a king, you see, let me now say something. Afterwards, the kings can now choose who their firstborn will be. That is just something about around the corner. We are not discussing that today. But, you know, a firstborn, I don't want to discuss that today.
But maybe when I get to teach us about first fruit offering and tithe, when I touch those things, hallelujah, I will touch it very well. So that you see that very well. Hallelujah.
But he stands in the place of the father. That's the right of the firstborn, what you call first fruit. Are you hearing me? First fruit. So it stands in the place of the father. So you see, first fruit is not actually money. It's actually fruit. It's actually an office. Glory to God. So it stands in the right of the father. So who is the father is the next question you ask. Who is the father? The father is Isaac. Isaac is the son of Abraham. Isaac is Abraham's, how should I call it now? Is it birth son? No, first fruits, right? Is Abraham's Besorah, Abraham's first fruits. I want you to see this. Hallelujah. Now, so who is Abraham? Abraham in Genesis 20, verses 9. I hope I'm not mistaken it. Verses 7. Abraham is a prophet of God. Are you following me? Abraham is a prophet of God. So if Isaac is Abraham's Besorah, who is Isaac? Isaac is also a prophet because he will take the stead of his father. Are you following me? Then who is now? What is your firstborn right? What is the firstborn right? He will take the stead of his father to be a prophet. What did Esau do? He bullshitted it. He said he despised it. He said, what is the firstborn right? When I want to die. You do know that? I gave up something in history that he just came out from the slaughter. From slaughter. Just his history. Esau had it that Esau actually killed Nimrod. So he just came back from that encounter, and he was feeling flat. You know? Was feeling flat. What is that? When I have achieved the Lord, humanly speaking, what is prophet? I beg you, let me go. He despised it. And the Bible says he sought for it with tears. Glory to God. But he despised it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So for the sake of human experience, he despised it. And spoke ill of it. That would be unbelief, you know. That would be unbelief. Unbelief towards his birthright. Unbelief towards the gospel. And Jacob believed. Right? Right? Hallelujah. Now, when you think it is in twos, there will always be two to one. And Moses writes that thing to make you know that, see, when it comes to the narrative, when it comes to human, whatever, what they had then that is the firstborn that takes the office of the father. So I've not been talking about this. You guys are not even talking. Eh? Coming up for me. Okay. So when you are thinking, what they had operating is that the first child takes over the office of the father. Did you get it? The first child takes over the office of the father. Now, Moses now writes it that see, it's not actually the first child. So he will now cite Isaac. Are you able to see where Moses is going to? You will not fight Isaac. And not that you see, he's not actually Esau, but Jacob. So he's not actually first. He's actually who believed. Are you following me? He's actually who believed. I'm not the first child. So he's got, so the right of the firstborn is from where? The person from what? Believe. Are you following me? So Moses writes a counter narrative to what they have. That is not actually the right of the firstborn, is not actually the first child, but actually what? He who believed. So he wants you to see that beautifully. So when you're not thinking it's going to be 2-2-2-2-2-2, you're not showing that Jacob had a nation. He had more than a football team. In fact, he had 12. Glory to God. He had 12. And yet, the promise was made to Israel. I believe when you, so to make you know that the promise seed is not actually Jacob. Now he now shows you a nation, a full nation. And in that nation too, there was still a promise of the seed in them and the land. Hallelujah. Because it is right now you see this world. Hallelujah. You see this world. Hallelujah. So, also, what Moses does beautifully for you to see is that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will give humanity to the seed. That's what we want you to see also. They will give humanity to the seed. Hallelujah. So something to see critically is that before Moses wrote to the children of Israel, what did he do to them? What was he doing? Before he wrote, what was he doing?
Luke 24:25. Oh, who is about to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Are you following me? So, before they write, they spoke. Are you hearing me? Before they write, they spoke. So that means, what will Moses be speaking to them of? When he was preaching, they know Moses was a preacher. So what was he preaching to them of? Was preaching to them concerning the seed as a promise. So what does he have in his message? The message of the seed. Are you following me? So the seed was what became was a subject matter of his teaching. And was teaching, we teaching it as a promise. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you will find it as in his teaching, in his message, and also be in the message of the prophet. So the seed was the subject matter in their message. It is the word on their lips. I want you to follow me down. In Galatians 3:16. Now we are done. That's at this point. We are just finishing introduction. And it's our finished. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The seed is Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And John now shows us that in the beginning was the Word was God, and God is the Word. Right? Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and tabernacle among us, and we beheld him, his glory, the glory as of the Holy Begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, quickly, who is the Word? Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, I want you to see that very well. So, the Word is Christ. The seed is the Word. The Word is Christ. Very simple. Hallelujah. The seed is the Logos. So, when Jesus explained that same word, seed, in Mark 4:14, he says, and the seed, the sower sowed, is the Word. The right for you to see is the Word. The same word, Word. That you say what? Logos. Logos. That word logos is used for a free plan. A free plan. An action. A free plan that precedes an action. It implies it's used for a message, a subject matter being spoken of. The word logos is used for a subject matter being spoken of. A free plan that precedes an action. Hallelujah. So, last week we said Jesus, when Jesus spoke about the parable of the sower, he showed us four soils, right? Right, the one that falls by the wayside, the one that falls on stony ground, the one that fell on thorns, and the one that fell on good soil. And we saw those three. Right, so we said those four different grounds represent the four different recipients to the word of God went taught, to the toward the message of the gospel went taught. And the one that fell on thorns, the first two were unbelievers, right? They didn't believe. So it shows us what Satan does for an unbeliever, a man that doesn't believe the gospel when he's told, Satan has got a hold on him. Hallelujah. He says Satan comes immediately to steal the word. Hallelujah. So that act of unbelief. Remember I told us that no decision of a man, no action of a man is neutral. There's no neutral, there's no sitting on the fence.
Hallelujah. It's either you are influenced by the Holy Ghost or you have strange fire. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Either you are influenced by the Holy Ghost or you are inspired by the devil. So, glory to God. So we now have the one that fell on tongues. That one, this guy is a believer who allows the cares of this world. Hallelujah. Who allows the cares of this world? Allows the cares of this world. Choke the world. Choke the world. You know, they hear the word, but they don't act on it. They hear the word, you know, James describes them as those who hear the word and straight away forget what manner of man they are. Straight away forget what manner of man they are. Straight away forget what manner of man they are. So they don't stick to the word. Hallelujah. They don't stick to the word. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now the one that fails on good soil. Look at Mark 14. I want you to check, see something quickly with you. Mark 4, sorry, not Mark 14. Mark 4, verses 20. He says, but those that fell, but these are the ones on the good soil. Mark 14. He said, those who hear the word, accept it. He says, they hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. Some 30, some 60, and some 100 fold. Why don't you see how Matthew puts it also? Matthew 13, verses 20, 26, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, 23. But he who receives the word on the good ground is who hears the word and understands it. Yeah, he understands it and indeed bear fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Hallelujah. So the good soil is the believer who hears the word and receives it. The good soil. Matthew 13, 23. Mark 4, 14. Now, the good soil is the one who hears the word and receives it. Matthew says he understands it. We're going to look at those two words. Hallelujah. He hears the word, he understands it, he receives it, he accepts it. That word receive, is the word paradikomai. Paradikomai is a compound word, para and dekomai. Para means alongside, beside, right? Para means beside, alongside. Another word is the word dekomai. Dekomai means to receive. This time not active but passive. That is, the way you receive something, you accept something. You know that? You receive it. Hallelujah. Para is not actually active like lambano that you take. No. Para is actually you receive it. Hallelujah. So the word para de command, you'll find it in Acts 15 verse 4. We're going to be very fast. Acts 15 verse 4. I need you to see all these critically. We're going to go through them. It's used 8 times. So we're going through those scriptures. Mark Acts 15 verse 4. I'll read from verse 3 so now you understand, from verse 2 so now you understand what was happening. On verse 2, therefore, Paul and Barnabas, now, okay, verses 1, and certain men came down from Judea and taught your brethren, unless you are circumcised, according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Therefore, Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them. They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. Did you see? Verse 4. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all things that God has done with them. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So they reported all things, they reported the matter. That's the whole power of the command. When they were received. So quickly, take note of this. They were received for this. I mean, they were received for which sake? For the sake of why were they received? They were received because of the dispute, right? Not that. Let me not say that's not like that. I don't miss my words and be misquoted. They were received. Why did they go down to Jerusalem? They went down to Jerusalem because of that dispute. So when using the word they were received, they were received for that purpose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah for that purpose. And that was why they reported all immediately. Hallelujah. So they were received for that purpose. I need to take note of that because we are coming there. In chapter 16, verse 21, look at something. Now, Paul and Barnabas. Hallelujah. Now, this was the accusation they have. Say, verse 20, and these men being Jews exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach custom which are not lawful for us Romans to receive or observe. Old King James will say and observe, right? That is the same word, or observe. Hallelujah. So it's used for what? To observe. Hallelujah. To what you receive and observe. Hallelujah. Or you receive to observe.
Watch the trend. Receive to observe.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 19, it says, receive no accusation against an elder, except by what? Two or three witnesses. Right? Right? Receive no accusation except for two or three witnesses. We also have it in Hebrews 12:16. I want to get to Hebrews 12:16. That's actually a call with two. Hebrews 12:16. It says, Hebrews 12:16. Sorry, I made a mistake. The Hebrews 12:6. He says, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son in whom he receives. This is in whom he receives. He scourges every son in whom he receives. Now the word paradekoma has to do with how you receive something and continue in the light of what you receive. That's what paradekoma. What you receive and continue in the light of what you receive. And that was what stood the one that fell by the in the good soil from the one that fell in thorns. The one that fell on thorns, what did he do? He went for the cares of the world. But the one that fell on good soil continued. Did you see? To continue. So there's already a line. He continued in it. Now, a shape, not a shape now. That word paradekoma is actually from the Hebrew word. I said something along this line yesterday. That when you look at, you can read context. From where? The Old Testament book. I said that yesterday in our teaching. So we're looking at it today. So the word paradekoma is from a Hebrew word, rasa, in the Hebrew, rasa. A word you'll find in Hebrews chapter 3 verse 12. Hebrews 3 12. It says, now whom the Lord loves, he corrects. As just as a father, the son in whom he delights. That's the word delight, rasa. In chapter 16 of Proverbs, verse 7. Proverbs 16:7. Say, when a man's way please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Please, that's the word to please. Psalms 149. Psalm 149 verse 4. It says, praise him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above. Sorry, 149 verse 4. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. Pleasure. He will beautify the humble with salvation. So that is the word pleasure. Do you understand? That's the word pleasure. Paradekoma. Pleasure. Delight. Delight. Pleasure. Hallelujah. So take pleasure in doing something. Take pleasure. So it's the same explanation. Hallelujah. What you receive that you take pleasure in. That you take pleasure in. Hallelujah. That you delight in. That's what it means. You know, similarly, this is actually similar to what to how James will put it in James 1:25. He talks about the man who beholds his face in the mirror and continues daring. Continues daring. He delights, means to delight in, to continue there. To continue there. That is the word for continue there. Daring, to delight in. It's a shade of the word paradekuma. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To continue there, to delight in. Matthew says, if you read Matthew, he says, the man understands it. Did you see? Understands it. What he said is not different from what Marcus said. Understands it. That word understand is in the Greek, sunemai. Sunemai. It means, meaning, that word sunemai is used for to bring facts, to bring things together, to comprehend. Hallelujah. So he says this man accepts, hears the word, understands it, hears the word, continues in it, meaning he could relate with it. Hallelujah. He could bring the fact of the word together and walk in the light of it. Hallelujah. He brings the fact of the word together and walks in the light of it. So the result is that he bears fruit. What is the result? He bears fruit. That is the word. Kapophorio. Kapophorio. K-A-R-P-O-P-H-O-R-E-O. Kapophorio. In the Greek. K-A-R-P-O-P-H-O-R-E-O. Kapophorio. Is a word you'll find in Mark 4:28, Luke 8:15. Let's look at Mark 4:28. Mark 4:28 is a compound word, but we're not looking at the compound word today. Mark 4:28, because of time, we'll get to see it some other time. Mark 4:28. Hallelujah. In fact, a shade of that word has to do with work, has to do with effort. Hallelujah. That is the word. We're not talking about the compound word today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, a shade of the word has to do with what? Your activity. Has to do with an activity. Let me not put your an activity. Put it like this, your activity. Hallelujah. Mark 4:28. Are you there? Let's see something. 20. Yes, Mark 4:28 now. Okay, Mark 4:28. Okay, I read. He says, for the earth yields crop by itself. First the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. Did you see that? How did you see that? That you see this. He says, first the blade, then the head, after the full grain in the head. And when the grain ripens, immediately he pulls the sickle because the harvest has come. Because the harvest has come. Lord, this is something you have to see that goes into the core of our team for the year. Hallelujah. You need to see it very well. Hallelujah. Yield crop, that's what to yield crop, to yield fruit. By itself. By itself. You find it also. So put your hands here. We'll come in here shortly. In Luke 8. Verse 15. It says, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those having heard the word with a noble and good heart. Does what? Keep it. Did you see that word? Keep it and bears fruit with patience. Listen. I left this one out. Now that I don't even want to explain, I didn't even bring in Luke. He says, this is Luke writing the same thing that Mark and Matthew have written. He said, what does he do? He hears the word. What does he do? He keeps it. He did the same thing with the word continues daring that I told you, right? Keeps it and bears fruit with patience. Now, what has Luke done for you? Mark that word patience. He now tells you what will happen. You find the blade, then the head, then the full crop. Hallelujah. You need to see that. You need to see that closely. Hallelujah. That is the patience.
And that's why he said 30, he says to some 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. With patience. Till you find the head. Hallelujah. Go back to Mark. Mark chapter 4 again, verse 28. We're about to round up now. Mark 4, 28. He said, you find the head. After that, the full grave in the head. Hallelujah. He said, first the blade. So look right for you to see that it requires patience. Hallelujah. It is happening. It will happen. But you know, patience. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's happening, brothers and sisters. It's happening, church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You find for that reference in Romans 4:7-4, Romans 7:5, Colossians 1:16. That word, kapocheru, which we're looking at, implies to bring forth results to oneself. To bring forth results. Bring forth, hallelujah, result to oneself. Hallelujah. Listen, we're coming back to Mark 4. Put your hands there. Now, listen, bearing fruit is the core. Bearing fruit is the core. I put it like this: the high point of what we have received in the new birth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I call it the high point. Because when you bear fruit, you will bring them to the ecclesia. Hallelujah. Where will your fruit be born? Where will you find your fruit? Where you are. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Are you following me? Or put it this way. Bearing fruit is the high point of the commission we will receive. The apostolic commission that we received from scriptures. Hallelujah. Is the high point of the apostolic instruction we receive in Scripture. And this fruit we bear will be the fruit of the seed in Genesis. Remember, we say, how will it happen? He said, the seed will bring forth what? Fruit according to its character. The seed will bear fruit according to its character. That's how it will happen. Who is the seed? Christ. Hallelujah. In the resurrection, glory to God. Hallelujah. In the resurrection. You know, Jesus said, except a grain of seed falls to the ground, he abideth alone. Hallelujah. But when he falls, what happens? He brings forth much grains. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The resurrection of Christ gives birth to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at how it started in the church in Acts, from Acts 2, from 120 to 3,000, 3,000 to 5,000. Then we heard of multitude. Hallelujah. Daily men were added to the church. Glory to God. That is the fruit. Hallelujah. He said, he shall see his seed and shall prolong his days. What does it mean? He shall see his seed. You see, when a man is saved, the days of Jesus in the earth is prolonged. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you following me? His days are prolonged. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So bearing fruit is our involvement in God's will for the earth. Who bears the fruit? We bear it. Hallelujah. Who bear the fruit? Hallelujah. That is the work of God through us in the earth. That's what God is achieving through the believer today in the earth. Bearing fruit according to his kind. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And when that medium through God bears fruit.
Hallelujah. So our involvement with God in God's work, in God's cause. God has a cause for the earth. What is God's cause for the earth? What is God's plan for the earth? The whole nations, right? The Spirit of God overs over the surface of the deep. God's plan is for every man, the whole earth, to be his temple. God's plan is for the whole earth to be heaven on earth. Hallelujah. God's plan is for every man to be saved. And the vision for we is that every man will be saved through us. As many as the Lord will lead us through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Every earth. Every earth. Everyone in the earth. Hallelujah. So we'll play our part. We'll raise men. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Every man's word. Every man's word. Every man that the Lord have us reach will reach them. Not even one will be left unreached. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So everyone, every believer must be given to bearing the fruit. The fruit of the Lord in the earth. Hallelujah. How do we bear fruit? He said, go therefore and make disciples. Go into the world and preach the gospel. Hallelujah. We'll bear fruit through the gospel. We'll bear fruit. By the gospel. Hallelujah. Before we move to Mark 4 and round up from there, the question I want to ask you, when last did you bear fruit? When last did you bear fruit? When last did you? When last did you? Did you and everybody here bear fruit? See, continue there. Hallelujah. You continue daring. You know what? You continue daring. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say you are giving to God's cause in the earth and you are not bearing fruit. See, a believer who doesn't bear fruit is not yielding to God's Spirit. Because God's Spirit will lead you in what He's doing in the earth today. The leading of God's Spirit is towards what God is doing in the earth today. Hallelujah. Major. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God will lead you to what He's doing in the earth today. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. No, we're getting prepared for CRC. Hallelujah. The leading of God's Spirit is towards His work in the earth, towards His plan for man. Hallelujah. That's how God leads us. Are you hearing me? No, in quotes, serious believer stays a week, stays a month, stays a year without fruit. I'm a fruit bearing branch. I bear fruit. Hallelujah. I bear fruit. I bear fruit. I'm giving to God's cause in the earth. I am. Say I am.
I am.
I'm giving to God's cause in the earth.
I'm giving to God's cause in the earth.
I am.
I am.
Hallelujah. Yes. He doesn't stop in you saying it. You get on your Bibles. You take up your Bibles and you are out on the streets. Hallelujah. You'll be a fruit. You know some people? They go out to win souls. And maybe the first people they met say, I don't want to. And they get discouraged. No! Hallelujah! They are given to cause, God cause on the earth. Men save, men disciple. I'm giving you discipling men in the earth. Hallelujah! I believe you are made up. Nothing can stop me. I will keep to them. And I will be faithful to it. Hallelujah! Look at how Luke. Look at how Luke puts it. Let's look at Luke as surrounded. Luke 8 again. Before we come back. Luke 8. It says, having heard the word with a noble and good heart. It says, keeps it. You see, keeps it and bears fruit with patience. See,
discipleship brings souls, comes to patience, and discipleship comes to patience.
You see, when it comes to winning souls, you tell yourself, I am dogged. I will not give up, I will not give in. Now, some people you have to keep talking to, maybe you've told them, I don't want to hear, you go back to them. Hallelujah. Never write anybody out in your heart. Some people you just have to keep with them with the word. It's called the God's long suffering. Is it with patience? Hallelujah. With patience, endurance. Glory to God. Hallelujah. With patience. With patience. With patience. The ones you are discipling. Sometimes you are not hearing the word. What are you hearing? No, keep at it. Hallelujah. You feel the person in Christ's reality.
The greater one is in you. You know the power of God is in you. The Spirit of God is in you.
They know how to ask questions. They are sitting down here. They just, whenever they see me, question, sir. I will teach and teach because sir, question. Does it mean sir? It's also the, you know, they hear word, but no, be patient. Hallelujah. I'm giving to God's cause in here. Hallelujah. I'm giving to God's cause in here. I know what. Let's look at something. Listen. Mark.
Mark 4, sorry. Verse 28. As a random. He says, for the earth eats crop by itself. Say first the blade. That is how it happens. Say first the blade. First the blade. Hallelujah. First the blade. The blade. Then the head. The full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he pulls in the sickle because the harvest has come. Hallelujah. There's a harvest of souls, supernatural harvest of souls. But you know, that harvest of souls, remember, we said is the fruits, first fruits of things to come. Hallelujah. Mark that one. Supernatural harvest, first fruit of things to come. That's the thing for the year, right? Right?
Yes, sir.
Right? Or you don't know? Do you know?
No, sir.
Okay. First fruit of things to come. So, as you get ahead, preaching the gospel, that is the first fruit. How is first fruit explained? For example, I usually call this place of Golok for sometimes. I get to Adekunle Street, right? And I meet someone, for example. And I preach to the person as I preach to him. Glory to God. And he gets saved. He gets saved. He becomes the first fruit in that environment, in that family, in that household. To reach that environment for Christ. So he becomes that first fruit. Are you following me? He becomes that blade. Glory to God.
Are you following me?
That will now go ahead. No, as I keep teaching him, what do you do? See, I want to tell you something. For every disciple you have, make sure the first thing you expose them to is what? Prayer. And evangelism going forward. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? Expose them to what? Don't say, they just joined ministry. I'm still teaching them, but take them out!
through preaching. Hallelujah. Let them teach them that way. Hallelujah. You take them to pray. You teach them. Hallelujah. Take them to pray. You take them out.
They will see you. They will tell them all your preaching.
Hallelujah.
Praise
Hallelujah.
Praise
there is no. I want you to grow first. Okay? Preach the word.
Hallelujah.
The moment that one is saved, he is already a what? A laborer in the harvest. It's a first fruit in the harvest.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Become
the first fruit of things to come. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Are you following me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the first fruit is that fruit that brings in other fruits in the earth. So like that we are spreading. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Like that we are spreading. Spreading with the gospel of God. Let it be known to you. Don't stay a week without having evangelism. If I have a time every week, even it's Thursdays, it's Fridays, it's Mondays, it's Tuesdays, make sure you have time to go out. Are you following me? I have time to go out. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. We have evangelism this weekend, right? Hallelujah. We are going out as a church. See, all we know serious believers is during the time of evangelism. So people will not be there. Okay. Sure. Do what? Evangelism. I will step out by 10. We will have a teaching meeting. Hallelujah. We will step out by 10. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Hallelujah. But before then, make sure before Saturday, you don't even let it on your own. Are you following me? You give it. Make sure you have people who win and bring to church. You win them, bring them to church. Bring them to me. Hallelujah. It's fierce. Because that is God's cause in the earth. Every soul matters to God. Everyone matters to him. That drunkard in your street, God wants to reach him. That evil smoker in your street, God wants to reach him. There's all of us who like to go and meet people who go to church. God wants to reach the hardened criminal. God will reach those who are smoking and drinking. God wants to reach. God wants to reach that one you think is wayward. That lady you think she's wayward. That one. Outcast. That one. Go to the area. Yes, go. That one. God loves that one. And God needs that one. Never speak ill of anybody. Hallelujah. No. Never. I follow you. God is interested in that person. If you begin to see them, you know God sees them. You know the reason for the jealousy. See men, God sees them. Some people want to already make, already bake these disciples. So the man go ahead and steal other church members, other people's church members. Hallelujah. Go and win souls. Hallelujah. The bus drivers, the keke drivers, the Okada drivers. God is interested in them. He's interested in them the same way. The same way he's interested in that brand, in that bank manager, in that MD, in that CEO, in that chairman. He's interested in them also. The same way. The same way. See, I'm giving to God's cause. Hallelujah. Don't write yourself out. Don't. So that guy is not take shisha. God needs him. Hallelujah. If not, look at Paul. Look at Paul. Paul killed believers, but consented to the death of Stephen. But imagine, take out Paul from the New Testament book. Look at the magnitude of revelation we have through Paul. Take him out and say, Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Men can write them all. But God never writes them. And God sends me. God sends Ananias. And Ananias was like, God is like, he's asking his own look. He said, what is your business? He said, go.
and hear what Jesus in some of my names is. They have chosen me. Hallelujah. Are you following me?
God never writes men off. God never. And you don't. So this week, we are giving to that cause in the end. Where you are, just bow your head down. Where you are, just bow your head down. Just consecrate yourself this week again. Consecrate yourself this week again to that cause of evangelism in the earth.